Amen.
Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. We're going to talk about Joshua. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. The people shouted with a great shout. Look at the person beside you and say, that the wall fell down. Now say it like you mean it. That wall fell flat. There you go. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. You can be seated. Rest for a few minutes. We know this story in particular about Joshua, we know from a very young age. When I was in grade school or elementary school, whatever you want to call it, when I was in elementary school, we still sang Christian songs in music class. Do they do that now? No, they don't do it now. So I'm old. And we sang a song called Joshua Fought the Battle of Jericho. And Miss Wynn was our teacher, and she made us sing, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of All right, well, the kid beside me was unchurched. And I see him from time to time. It was Sam Winston. And we laugh about this still today because he was singing, but he was singing the wrong words. And I could tell. So I stopped singing and listened. And Sam unbridled, he was singing, Joshua fought the battle of a cherry coke, cherry coke. And I leaned over and I said, what are you saying? He said, Joshua fought the battle of a cherry coke. I said, cherry coke? It's Jericho. He said, what's that? No clue. Absolutely no clue. So Joshua did not fight the battle of a cherry coke. He fought the battle of Jericho. We know this story. It's an amazing story. God calls Joshua to step out by faith. I want to tell you, anything you do for God is going to take faith. This is a very unorthodox way to win a city. This is not the way wars are fought. But when God steps in, things change and victories become victories that wouldn't ordinarily be victory. So he tells Joshua to march around the city one time every day on the seventh day, march around the city seventh time, make a shout, and the walls came tumbling down. Joshua 6 and 27 tells us, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Joshua became very famous because Joshua was doing simply this, obeying the Lord. Joshua was walking in the favor and the anointing of God because Joshua lived a life of faith. When we find Joshua here, he's fighting this battle. Everybody's afraid of him. The country's around. It's noised abroad of what's going on. All the way back to Moses in Egypt, they're moving into the promised land to take what God promised them. And isn't it amazing that when God gives you something, you still have to go take it? You would think if God gave it to you that it would be yours, but when God gives you something, he still challenges you to step in, fight the battle, and take what he gave you. One thing about God, you ain't getting it too easy. Once he gives it to you, you got to fight for it. How many people know what I'm talking about? That God gave you peace, but sometimes you got to fight for peace. And God gave you victory over anxiety, but sometimes you got to fight for victory over anxiety. And you've won the battle with lust, but sometimes you still got to fight the battle with lust. God gives you the victory, but he still expects you to step up and fight for it, holding on to the promise, because this is what faith is. Faith is holding on, Dustin, when we don't see the result, knowing it's going to come, and it's why we don't let go in the middle of the battle. That's what faith is. Joshua lived the life of faith. Joshua was a man of faith. Joshua wasn't always called Joshua. We read in Numbers 13 and 8, of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun. His original name is Oshea. And if you look up his name simply meant salvation. So his name meant salvation. We read on down in Numbers 13 and 16 as Moses is calling out the men to go spy out the promised land, and it lists each one. And when he comes to Joshua, verse 16, make sure, right, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Why would Moses instantly change his name? And what did he change his name to? Hoshea meant salvation. But Moses looked at him and said, no, you're not salvation, you're Joshua. And Joshua means the Lord is my salvation. So what Moses was doing was letting Joshua know, this isn't about you. This is about the God in whom you serve. There's not one person in this room that's able to save themselves, deliver themselves, or heal themselves. You are not Hoshea. No, but you must understand who your Yeshua is. You see, but there is one, and the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my anointing. The Lord is my bread. The Lord is my comfort. The Lord is my encourager. The Lord is my keeper. Joshua took his focus off of him. Moses, a great leader, seen something in him. So he says, I want you to understand this, Hoshea. This is not about you. This is about the God in whom we serve. Joshua wholeheartedly begins to fulfill his name and trust in God. They go to spy out the land, and if you don't know the story, here's the story. They go in and they see the land, and it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And it's such a wonderful place, but there's a problem. There's something occupying the land. Anybody know what it was? There's giants in the land. There's 12 men. And they come back to give their report. Caleb says, let's go up at once. We are more than able. Joshua is with him. He's on the same page. He's believing that the God that they serve is bigger than their giants. But there are 10 men that say, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. They say, we shouldn't go. There's no way we should go. We're not. 10 men, the Bible says, they brought an evil report. But there was two. I want to talk to you this morning about being people of faith. Nolan, if I'm going to be a man of faith, I'm not always going to be popular with the status quo. If I'm going to be a man of faith, sometimes the things that I'm going to say are against the grain of what the world may say. But I do know this, when the world says it's impossible, I serve a God who says all things are possible. The Lord is my salvation. He becomes Moses' minister throughout the years of waiting. And I can only imagine the struggle that goes through the mind of Caleb and Joshua, knowing that they can go in and win through God, knowing that they can overtake, and year after year after year, waiting for that promise to be fulfilled because of 10 unbelievers. Imagine the struggle as God can do this. God can do it. Let me tell you what really cools your jets really fast. It's not when the world is not on your side, but it's when your brothers, you go to them and you give them an idea. Let me tell you what I think God can do. They say, oh, we tried that before in revivals. They just fizzle out. Man, you're talking about messing with you. It's not when the people across the aisle, but when the people in your camp that's supposed to be with you, you go, you say, man, God's laid this on my heart. Oh, that'll never work. I'm going to tell you right now, we've tried that. Never going to happen. And then I've been there. Man, it cools you. 10 men who were supposed to be the people of God said, we can't do this. Joshua and Caleb are like, let's go, brother. They're like, let's go fight the battle. Let's go win the battle. And everybody's waiting. Then we find out about Caleb years down the road. He gets into the promised land. Can I preach to you for just a minute? This is a little side note, but I got to give you this. Caleb gets over there, and he's an old man now. He's past years, and he looks and he says, give me my mountain. Brother Eddie, it didn't matter. The man of faith as a young man was still a man of faith when he got old, and he said, give me my mountain. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter in faith how weak you are, how tired you are, how slow you are, how old you are. What matters in faith is God said he can do it, and he can do it. But before his name is famed abroad, you know what he's doing? Service. He's doing service. You know what gets me? Some people want to be leaders, but they never want to serve. Some people want the stage, but they never want to serve. Let me tell you how it works in God's economy. If you don't serve, God will never elevate you to leadership. If you don't know how to pour water on the hands of Moses, then you're not going to know how to act when you're marching around Jericho. How can I preach on us a little bit? Until we learn to sacrifice for the greater good, God can't elevate us. But if we humble ourselves in the sight of God, he will lift us up and elevate us. In God's economy, it works like this. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. It was Jesus as our prime example that would pull out a towel and begin to wash feet. The ultimate example of leadership knew how to serve. Joshua knew how to serve, and he served Moses well. You're never going to make it in the kingdom of God and be effective. I'm going to talk about being effective here. Unless we know how to serve. You're never going to be able to sing a song in power unless you know how to sing a song in trial. Oh, let me give you to that again. Jason, you can only preach as good as you can pray. You can only preach as good as you can pray in trial. In the struggle, when it's not going so well, your relationship has to go deeper than the trial. He said, count it all joy when you enter into diverse temptation. That doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't mean that God's telling you to look around and say, this is the most horrible trial I've ever been in my life, and I love it. That's not what he's telling you to do. He's saying, count it all joy when you enter into struggle. Why? He's asking you to look through the trial and not see the trial, but see him. See, there's something about this God that when you're in the middle of the fire, he'll show up with you. If you can look through the flame and you can still spot him, he's going to be there with you. It's not just outside the den of lions, but it's in the den of lions that this God shows up and walks with you. The problem is we try to avoid those spots. Nobody likes pain. Nobody likes discomfort. And it's getting worster. Where you at, Debbie? Love you. It's getting more and more difficult to afflict ourselves. Amen. Amen. Was it you telling me they didn't have air conditioner or heater in those cars? In Bolivia, is that right? No air conditioning, no heaters. I ain't going. How many people got heated seats in your car? Look at y'all, bunch of sissies. You know why? Because we like comfort. We like comfort so much that now we can start them from the inside of our house. These people over there rolling around, I don't know what they do. I mean, if your window fogs up, what are you going to do? Roll your window down? It's cool outside. Hey, not us. No, sir. That's the most miserable time of our life, ain't it? Ain't it? Come on, talk to me. Between spring and summer, when you're going from air conditioning to heater and you can't get it right to keep the windows clean. Oh, this is miserable. This is miserable. That's how much we like comfort, ain't it? Come on, preacher. Joshua knew what it was to be uncomfortable. Joshua knew what it was to be a servant of God. Joshua knew what it was to walk by faith and not by sight. In so much that when God would ask Joshua, he would be the one that God would choose to take the people into the promised land when Moses couldn't make it. He gets to the Jordan and Joshua doesn't flinch. The Jordan is flooded. It's overflowing its banks. The best I can tell, right in that area, they say, it drops off very quickly when the Jordan is overflowing. And Joshua, without reservation, when God told him, tell the priest, step in the water, Joshua says, step in the water. Get in the flow of it, and you're going to see God do something. Oh, man, that's good right there. I think I'll camp out there. That's not even in my notes. You know how many miracles are done with water? A bunch. The first miracle Jesus did with water. We won't talk about that right now. There were so many miracles that were done in water. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Do we understand the miracles that could take place if we would just let the flow of the Spirit take its place in our life by faith and quit being comfortable? Eddie told me years ago, he said, as a preacher, he said, it's tough because you have to comfort the afflicted. And you got to afflict the comfortable. Oh, man. I got to be careful because I could really preach on us right now. When we stand before God, we're going to give an account. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. Every time you have an opportunity to worship and you skip out on it. I want you to think about it. No. You say, oh, God's gracious. You're going to give an account for the deeds done in your body. How far do you want to go, Jason? How far do you want to go? Best sermon he ever preached in his life. Friday night is awesome. It was awesome. He made me want to preach. Don't be satisfied with that. Don't stop. When I say, hey, good job, man. That was awesome. Don't stop there. Dig deeper. Because let me tell you something about God's word. You'll never exhaust it. You'll never run out of good stuff. There's always another revelation. There's always another mountain. There's always another treasure. Keep digging, and you'll keep digging those out. We can't get comfortable. Joshua never got comfortable. He said, as soon as he was done with Jericho, he said, hey, go to Ai. Do to them what you did here. He goes on down the road, and they're like, hey, don't do that. Don't do that. It's me paraphrasing. What are you talking about? We heard. We heard what's been going on. We heard what God did down in Egypt. We want to make a league with you. He's like, man, can you make a league with us? Josh's like, yeah, we'll make a league. Go on to the next town. Man, they're winning battle after battle after battle. Why? Because of faith. Because he won't get comfortable. He keeps moving forward. You know what? We're fighting battles, and we're not winning the battle because we're not fighting them. We're sitting back waiting on them to go away. Newsflash, the devil ain't going away. Come here. Oh, not you. You going through. Back up here. Has the devil ever tried to push you around? Push me. You get up in church like, devil's been fighting me. Every old way, Yuns pray for me, and I pray for Yuns. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what's going on. Seems like everywhere I turn, everything's going wrong, and the devil's fighting me. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. It was hard. And you keep whining, and you keep complaining, and nothing changes. But let me tell you where the devil messes up. Come on, devil. He keeps pushing, and he keeps pushing until you ain't got nowhere else to go. Now, he's done messed up here because I don't care how much he pushes now. He ain't going to push me through. I'm at my wit's end now. But this is where the devil messes up, because a believer, when they get their back to the wall, they've got some weapons that they can come out and fight with. But the first weapon they got to pull out is faith. Dave said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. This ain't about Oshia. This is about Joshua. This ain't about me being able to fight. This is about the God who's able to fight my battles. This isn't about my strength. This isn't about my power. This is about his power and his might. And I'm here to tell you, there ain't no devil in hell can stop the Jesus in you. So what are you waiting on? Sound like, oh, what's his name on Rocky? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting on? You don't have to wait till you get back here. No, there was a Shamgar. There was an Eleazar. There were some mighty men of David who said, I'm not moving. I know it's just a bean patch, and all I got is an ox goad, but I got something inside of me that'll overcome the enemy that's trying to take what belongs to me.
Yes, sir.
We talked about this before, and I remember you very specifically, Josh. Do you know what a mattock is now? Do you remember years ago I said, does anybody here not know what a mattock is, Josh? Does anybody else not know what a mattock is? Raise your hand. Anybody? You don't know what a mattock is? Anybody else? Anybody else? Do they call it something fancy now? Is it still a mattock? It's still a mattock, ain't it? Just not automatic, but it's still a mattock. A mattock is a tool with this handle on it that you have to dig with. It's usually flat on one end, and the other end's kind of pointed. The flat end is for the easy digging. The pointed end, you got to flip it over when you get to the rock. Now, here's what's cool about a mattock. If you dig with it long enough, it's hard to let go. Anybody? I dug a ditch one time, 6 feet wide, 2.5 feet wide, 6 feet deep, 2.5 feet wide, and about 20, 30 feet long. And I'm digging. I said, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to get this done by myself. I just kept digging and digging and digging and digging with a mattock. And when I tried to stop digging, I literally had to go to get my hand to open. It clave to it. It done conform to it. I'm convinced if I'd have did it a couple more hours, I would still have it in my hand. Eleazar begins to fight, and he fights with this sword by faith, and he fights so long that the sword clave to his hand. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying people at faith, by faith, need to start fighting until that sword cleaves to who they are. Then when you go to let the word of God down, you can't let it go because it's ingrained in who you are. I don't know what else to fight with but God's word. I don't know what else to go to battle with but God's word. Joshua, tell him to step into Jordan. Step into Jordan. There was no hesitation. There was no reserve because he was a man of faith. And because he was a man of faith, he got things done for the people of God. I'm not preaching to everybody today, but I'm preaching to somebody. Somebody that wants to see something happen in the kingdom of God before they die. I am so convinced that some people will go to church and they think this is church life. You go to church, you sing Victory in Jesus, page 120 in the red hymnals. You do Amazing Grace, which I can't remember, is it 53 or 56? Anybody, what is it? 56? Anybody know? Did y'all go to church? Do y'all? Y'all didn't memorize it? Oh, you knew, you knew. Well, most of our hymnals, they open to those two pages anyway. They think going to church is singing Victory in Jesus, singing Amazing Grace, having dinner every once in a while with the folks, and going home and just doing whatever they were doing before. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is this. Can I talk for a minute? Well, let me see. I'm almost done. We sang about the holiness of God and the worthiness of Jesus in the same song. People, that's revelation. Whoever wrote that song knew what they were talking about. Unless y'all jumbled two of them together. Y'all didn't? That's one song. Because sometimes y'all like, you're done, but you ain't done. We sang about the holiness of God and the worthiness of Jesus in the same song. You can't sing about the holiness of God without singing about the worthiness of Jesus. Am I right or am I right? Because the problem is the holiness of God, the holiness of the Father is what separates us from Him. The problem is God is holy and you ain't. Aren't. Hey, Debbie. Love you, Debbie. The problem is God's holy and you are not holy. So we sing holy, 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 holy. The revelation is that is God is holy and you're in trouble. Because we can't approach a holy God. But oh, when we start singing, see, the Bible says there was weeping in heaven. There is weeping going on in heaven. Why? Because nobody was found worthy. But then the elder steps up and says, weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, and He is worthy. So, Kevin, I can sing about God's holiness through the revelation of the worthiness of Jesus that brings me to a holy God when I'm unholy. He makes me holy. So what does that do to you? First of all, it makes me appreciate Jesus. Come on, Aaron. Second of all, it makes me have faith in what He's doing. So thirdly, that becomes my motivation to fight the kingdom of darkness and overcome so that I can be effective in the kingdom. Are you listening to me? Because this is important. This is really important. Without the anointing of God, we're in trouble. But without a relationship with God, we're not anointed. I'm going to try it over here. They didn't back me as good as I thought they should, so I'm here for y'all. The problem is, we want God to do things through us, but our relationship with Him isn't right. And if this is my boys over here. If our relationship isn't right with Him, we have no anointing. Are we still His children? Yes. Is our fellowship broken? Yes. Can we repair that and get on fire and do something for the kingdom of God? Okay. Y'all see how they did that? Can we or can we not get on fire for the kingdom of God through relationship with Him, destroy the works of darkness, and spread light to our city? Side three. This place over here, y'all are all sideways over here. Man, I don't know you, but I know you're fun to preach to. This dude's been zoned in. The whole service, every time I look over, he's listening. Some of y'all are like looking out your checkbook. I see you, people. When you go like this when I'm preaching, I know you're not taking notes. Unless y'all got some kind of shorthand app or something. It's just a small building. I can see you. And if not, after church, somebody will go on your Facebook and say, you know what so-and-so posted while you were preaching? That's really happened. Let me tell you what can happen. We get our relationship with God right, and we overcome the things in our life that are separating from Him. We become more effective for the kingdom. Come on. That's good, ain't it? That's good, ain't it? Ain't that good? Ain't that good? Ain't that good?
Let's go, brother.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You're going to face a battle tomorrow. There's a sin. There's a sin that comes to you all the time. It's on repeat. Whether it be doubt, whether it be gossip, whatever it is, it's going to come this week. If you give into it, you're going to be beset. You're going to be stopped, and you're going to be standing still. Man, I want to challenge you this week to plow right through it. Say, I'm not stopping for this today. I'm not stopping, but by faith, I know it's flooded. I know it's flooded, but I'm going forward anyway. I know everything is telling me I'm going to get washed away. I beg to differ because I'm not Oshia, I'm Joshua. It's not about me, it's about him. And knowing they stepped in the water. And when they stepped in the water, something happened. I truly believe the difference between the Red Sea and the Jordan parting was this. The Red Sea was military driven. Because when they got to the other side, he destroyed the armies. I believe the crossing of the Jordan was spiritual. There was nobody on the other side to fight. You know why they weren't there? They had heard, remember? They heard. They knew what was happening. News got around. Nobody was down there to fight him. You know why? Because the Jordan was flooded. There's no way they're going to get through there, not this time of year. When the devil says there's no way, Jacob, God says, I'll get you through anything. Because I'm your salvation. The world's got confidence in things they shouldn't have confidence in. So what do I got to do to get you pumped up to win the battle? What do I got to do? What can I say to you? What are you waiting for? Whatever, we're going to sing a song. So here's what I want you to do. If you're lost, come to the altar, kneel down. We'll know that you want salvation. We'll kneel down and pray with you. If you need prayer because you know you're going to fight a battle and you want to win, step out, stand up right here, and we'll gather around you and we'll pray with you. Either way, we're praying with you. Either way, we're praying with you. I thought somebody would say, that's me. Yeah, I'm ready. Are you anybody? There's one, there's two. Is there anybody else that says... Oh, come on. There's another one. Come on, ministry. Help me. Come on. Hey, don't pray for them like you normally pray for them. I want you to pray for them that God sets their heart on fire like he never has before.